I think it's high time to continue. I think we've enjoyed our coffee too much, so we need to get back to work. And I'm sorry to announce that I made a slight mistake, or whatever you call it. I don't know the proper English words for that kind of things. We have another document under agenda point 3A, the INF document 3, CAC/32/INF/3, which is for information. So I think we should just take that before we go to the business plan, which I announced before the coffee break. I hope you can forgive me for that little error in handling the session. So I would like to invite first the FAO to say something about, and afterwards the WHO if they want to say something about it. Please, FAO.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The document provides information to the Executive Committee on the resources that have been allocated by FAO and WHO later, and my colleague will present the WHO side, to support the work of the Codex Sanitaire Commission through the provision of scientific advice that is channeled through JECFA, JMPR, JEMRA, JMPS, also in nutrition, and other activities such as nanotechnology, a couple of weeks ago we had an expert consultation on this particular subject here in FAO. Mr. Chairman, the document that we have, it provides an update on the information that was presented at the 31st session of the Commission and covers the period 2008-2009, as you can see it on Table 1 from the FAO side, and estimation of the budget for 2010-2011. It contains the information that is on funds used by FAO and WHO in support of COLEX activities, both covering regular program funds, but also extra budgetary or voluntary contributions that FAO and WHO have received to carry out a number of activities. I would like to mention in particular the resources received from FSANS, the Food Standards Australia, New Zealand, to support the expert consultation on nanotechnology, but also received from Japan for the risk assessment of microbiological hazards in food, and also Thailand also contributed logistical support for the meeting on microbiological hazards in fresh leafy vegetables and herbs, which was held in Bangkok in May 2008. I would like also to mention the resources received from the U.S. government in the amount of 250,000 plus 5,000 euro in kind to support the work, rather to contribute to the GIFSA. GIFSA is this global initiative on food-related scientific advice, which is a fund that has been established by FAO and WHO with separate accounts in FAO and WHO to receive funds from voluntary funds from governments as well as other donors. The money received from the U.S. Government was used in particular to for the technical meeting on Salmonella and Campylobacter, there is plan also to use it for other activities in the future. So we still have part of that money unused, but already planned for the future. The Italian Ministry of Health also contributed 15,000 euro and in-kind services of a consultant for 5 months for the implementation of the FAO-WHO meeting on the application of nanotechnologies. All these, of course, are contributions that complement the resources that have that are allocated by FAO and WHO to the COLEX system, because most of these activities do feed into COLEX. Of course, to finish my presentation from the FAO side, I wanted to again insist on the importance of having regular program resources for these activities, so that one can plan adequately for them, but also the importance of having both in-kind and also financial resources from on a voluntary basis to carry out those activities that are unplanned. And for this scientific advice, there's a lot of unplanned activities. When there is an emergency and we need to carry out an expert consultation, that, like, for instance, what has happened with melamine case and others, or acrylamide, you need to have some additional unplanned or unbudgeted resources so that you can implement the necessary meetings to provide the scientific advice. I will stop here, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
FAO, I will immediately pass the floor to the WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly to mention that in the table about the funds that are being used for scientific advice from the WHO side, we have also included funds that are used for the new initiative to evaluate or estimate the total global burden of foodborne disease, which is clearly something that should link to Codex work, because if we say that we should work on a risk basis, then we should really look at what the real risk is from foodborne diseases. And we hope to get out of that work some indications that could also be used by Codex. And we have also included the funding for the... Oh, that's me, I guess. Sorry about that. We've also included funding for InfoSAN, which is the International Food Safety Authorities Network. That was initiated at least partially by indication from Codex that it's necessary to have a global emergency system in relation to food safety. Last thing to mention would be that the CIFSA, that the fund that we have set up together with FAO, we hope to get additional un-earmarked funds into that fund, because that is the only way that we can support Codex with the pertinent scientific advice. And we hope that this fund will also be able to accept funds coming in from maybe even industry sources. We are allowed to do that if the funds are at arm's length from specific companies, and that's defined in a legal manner. But basically, if a company has a system to put money out of their own control, for instance, in a foundation, then this money is considered to be at arm's length from the company. For instance, Wellcome Foundation is money that Wellcome has put into a trust, and they have no say of these funds. If that is the case, we are actually able to get that money into a funding mechanism like this. So that's why we are trying to use new ways of getting funds into the provision of scientific advice, because as mentioned from my colleague from FAO, we continue to have problems having enough funding for scientific advice. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. Does that call for any comment from delegates? That doesn't seem to be the case. Then I think we should just state that, or thank the FAO and WHO for their information about what goes on, and state the fact that it is also of the utmost importance for the whole functioning of Codex that we have the necessary scientific advice. Without scientific advice on all pertinent issues, we don't move anywhere according. according to the way we work in Codex. So we are really grateful, and we hope, obviously, that well, both regular budgets will increase, but also that the necessary extra money will come in from different funds. So I don't think there's any more to say about it, except thanking for the information. So that's the conclusion at this point. Thank you. Then we move to the agenda point, which I announced before the coffee break, which certainly relates logically to the information, short discussion we just had about the Codex budget. This is was in the agenda point 5C, which is the discussion paper on the need to develop a business plan for the Codex Alimentarius. It is document CX/exec 09/62/5. I hope everybody has got the document. I will just give a few explanatory remarks, and then I will certainly turn the word to our colleagues from Australia and New Zealand who has prepared the document. But I think the background description in the document gives a very clear picture of why this document has been prepared. It is a reflection of the, say, everlasting problems of gaining enough funds for Codex work in general, and on the background of different interventions and reasons for the size of the contribution that has been given through history, it has been decided, or it has been asked to the Australia and New Zealand if they would prepare a discussion paper. It happened in the Commission 2008, and Australia and New Zealand willingly accepted to do that. And I think before I say anything more, I would like to ask our delegates from Southwest Pacific, which is also New Zealand, in practical terms, to introduce the document and give us some comments on it. Then we will take a discussion on it. I really hope that we can have a brief presentation and a brief discussion, because we don't have too much time to spend on this agenda item. So that is my plea to the whole committee. Thank you. New Zealand, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And yes, I will take on board your request to keep the presentation very brief and focused. To that end, we had, in fact, Circulate prepared the draft paper some months ahead, and we hope that members of the committee have had a chance to look at the document and contribute to facilitating discussion on this important issue. I would also just briefly mention in the context, the paper assumes particular significance, not the least in the context of the earlier presentation on the budget table for the previous biennium and the indications for the future, in which many of the concerns that were the drivers for this exercise continue to be present. So it is, again, all the more timely and appropriate for us to be discussing. I won't touch on the background. You have already referred to the origins and the rationale for engaging in this. What we have sought to do in this document is to provide a possible framework for developing and advancing the case for a sustained and well-resourced budget for engaging the allowing the Commission to carry out its mandate for health protection and ensuring fair practices in the food trade. So it's all about trying to provide the necessary framework by which Codex can seek and negotiate with the parent bodies. The document's essential framework revolves around developing a clear linkage between the strategic objectives of the parent bodies and the Commission's own strategic framework and activities. We have followed very much the global practice which many governments these days have incorporated, whereby they are linked to high-level outcomes, and government agencies and departments have to very clearly demonstrate how their own activities and mandates contribute to achieving those outcomes, and also establish some clear intermediate outcomes and measurable indicators for determining whether the outcomes are in fact being achieved. So it follows that structured framework, and what we have sought to do is to articulate it within the context in which the Commission is operating. So Appendix 1 sets out the strategic vision of the Commission, and then follows on with identification of the FAO and WHO medium terms plans to which the strategic vision contributes to. Having said that, I should acknowledge that the latest budget paper has signaled some significant shifts in the way FAO is seeking to move, and we think this is both timely and complementary to the approaches that are being advocated in this document. The next part of the document breaks down the resource requirements according to individual activities, and this again follows on very much from the intention here, which is to provide a greater clarity around where the resources are in fact going within the Codex system. We have heard over a number of years, not just from WHO, but importantly from other groups as well, the need for greater clarity and precision around how much effort is going particularly into the food safety area. The Commission had signaled some 20 years ago a strategic shift in the direction of increasing effort in food safety, and it's important for us to recognize and have a framework to enable us to capture. So the Appendix 1 Part 2 provides a possible model for trying to capture this, but is very clearly linked to the activities as set out in the Commission's own strategic plan. The point we want to make here in this context is that the Commission already has sufficient instruments and the mandate and the framework in its strategic plan to translate and meet the kind of estimation that is indicated in Appendix 1 Part 2. We have identified one particular activity: review and develop codex standards and related texts for food safety, and the various sub items, the agencies or committees that are responsible for the development of texts in relation to this area, who are the activity sponsors, the goal that it contributes to, the time frame, and so on. And again, the higher level linkages to the Commission's, the FAO and WHO strategic objectives. The activity resources that will seek to break down the FAO and WHO contribution in those areas, also, importantly, seek to capture the host country contributions, which, as we know, represents a very significant influence in sustaining the Codex work. Then we also have picked up the key activities and the milestones it seek to contribute to. Moving over to page 7, the Appendix 2, we have identified some of the other key activities and milestones that they contribute to. And the activity efficiency performance indicator and targets, again, seek to provide a link between the activities and some of the measures that we need to be able to use in order to be able to determine whether we are achieving those targets and how effective we are in doing that. I simply want to emphasize that this is a indicative framework. We are aware that there are some important issues for us to consider in terms of the disaggregation of the budget lines, but from our own experience at the national level, increasingly financial systems around the world do allow coding different items of expenditure, and it is, in our view, possible to disaggregate or aggregate, for that matter, information and expenditure items to the level that is determined to be necessary. So I simply want to make that point, simply to mention that we can look at different levels of complexity and different levels of detail that is linked to the objectives of this document. We would also like to point out that this document is not merely about short-term budgeting, but it is also intended to provide a powerful sort of mechanism for the Commission to engage, and I think the coordinator from Europe mentioned that this morning, in sort of a bottom-up planning, as he put it. We saw that in very similar lines, that it provides the Commission opportunity to engage with the parent bodies in the early stages of discussion and debate on budgets. And if we link it to the Commission's own medium-term plan, I think it will predicate a need for the Commission to have a greater knowledge and information on where it seeks to allocate its limited resources into the future across the broad categories of work that it has allocated and identified in its strategic plan. So, Mr. Chairman, essentially what we have tried to do is to provide an indicative model which we hope will encourage a bit of discussion and facilitate the Commission in developing a more robust and sound case for securing funding for this important program that FAO and WHO established. We believe that we have provided a possible way in which we can address many of the long-standing concerns, but more importantly, it will help us to more clearly demonstrate where the resources are going and how effectively they are being utilized to achieve the outcomes that we have. I would simply like to conclude by offering the continued support and assistance of Australia and New Zealand in the further development of this document, if that is the wish of the Executive Committee, and continue to contribute to the further development of this as a basis for achieving the overall outcome of putting the Commission's budget on a more secure and sustainable funding basis. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, New Zealand, for a brief presentation of a complicated issue and also for putting your document into the framework of what is going on and at the global level. I think that we could have a long and very complicated and very extensive discussion about this if we had time. I'm really afraid I have to say that we don't have time for that. And I would suggest to try to structure our discussion a little bit, which I think is necessary because there are many elements and many ways to go on this kind of discussion. Normally, when we have had an introduction of a new document, we would give the floor to members of the committee to comment on it. But I think I would suggest on this occasion that before we do this, obviously we give this opportunity, before we do this, I would like to ask either the Secretariat of Codex or the FAO and WHO to just to give a very, very brief comment on their view on the relation between this document, the ideas being presented here, and the processes going on in the organizations FAO and WHO. I think it is evident to all of us there is a very close link, and we need to see these as interrelated developments. At the time, New Zealand, Australia was asked to accepted to develop this document, they didn't really have any knowledge about what was going on in the FAO and WHO. So I think also in that framework, we need to try to see. So Tom, would you give some comments on it, or should we ask the WHO or FAO to maybe FAO, those who are involved in the development of budget processes in the organizations FAO? No. Tom? Okay. Please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. In principle, as I pointed out already, I made the link in the budget paper. There is a link because there are similar things to be done. What we're going to be asked for preparing future FA budget in as we are administered within FAO will consist of creating, of defining projects, defining work plans, and linking those to our strategic objectives, to the strategic plan. And as we have discussed already, this is both very much also a planning tool and a tool as communication of what does the program actually need. So it's also setting the plan of asking for, well, if we want to do this, we need all of these resources that you should give to us. Now, concerning the business plan and how to go about it, I'm essentially positive. Obviously, I don't want that we need to duplicate too many things, and as already was pointed out, the document needs to be adapted to what is happening within FAO. We have to watch a little bit the timeline, how we are seeing this, and when we're going want to actually all this to be useful, and if we think that we're going to discuss it again in December. Then we will have one further session of the EXEC in June, July, in CC EXEC 64. Then in December we will not have a session at the end of 2010, which is about the time that we would need to finalize the business plan, because in order, also something which is very good for us, the FAO conference in 2011 is going to be moved to the spring, May, June, so that we have the actually very good situation that we have both the FAO conference and the WHO World Health, WHA, the World Health Assembly, in the first part of the year. So by the time of the Commission, we will know about the allocation. So those two organs will determine in 2011 the 2012 and 2013 budget, which will then probably end up in a provisional allotment later in the year. So we have to keep all these planning things in mind also when we go about this. We don't want to have two processes which are incompatible. We want them to be implemented and fruitful. So whatever help, obviously, that we can get in order to do the planning that we will be asked to do will be welcome. So, but just these number of thoughts on this issue. Maybe FAO wants to comment.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like first to thank, of course, New Zealand, both for this document. It's obvious that when you have a program of $8.2 million, you need to have have a system for planning and also monitoring what this program is going to deliver. And also make sure that you achieve what you plan. So that is from that angle. I think we welcome very much this document. FAO, as we said earlier, is in the midst of a reform that will introduce very similar type of business planning. Therefore, many of what is included in this document will have its equivalent, let's say, in the new program of work and budget, the way that FAO is reforming it. already the reference to corporate strategies B1, B2, and C1 are that are referred to in this document are will disappear from this year. In fact, from our program, we are, as I said earlier this morning, strategic objective D, which is, I guess, we are in fact going very much closer to what WHO has in terms of a system for strategic objective 9 in WHO, which deals with nutrition and food safety. We have similar system now in FAO that is being developed. Strategic objective D will deal with food safety along the food chain and will include all what the Codex, since FAO is the host, the Secretariat of Codex, so all the budgeting for Codex will be covered under that strategic objective. So all these elements will certainly be used and will be reflected, adapted also to the system that is being put in place in FAO. And on top of that, I think we are also engaged in what the so-called risk-based management system, which links even the people and persons that are working on each of these activities that we are going to that are planned, links their work to those objectives, and the performance evaluation, etc., of the people will be made against the achievements under each of these activities. So it's going to be really a revolution here in terms of program planning, evaluation, and monitoring of the program. And this document is very much welcome, but needs to be adapted to what FAO is developing, which is similar, very similar in concept. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. WHO, want to comment on it, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Yes, we believe that the work that has been done by Australia and New Zealand is very useful, will be very useful for the future planning in Codex. So we would also like to thank Australia and New Zealand for this very interesting paper. This will enable, if a decision was made to do something like that for Codex, this would enable linking into the results-based management that WHO is already performing and that FAO will be performing in the future. It will make everything more transparent, and it would make planning a lot more efficient. It would probably also make for a situation where we could have more efficient discussions in this body and in the Commission about the planning. We would just warn that it's one very important thing is not to get too detailed in this type of planning, and one other very important thing would be to have good indicators. We have the experience from WHO that it's actually more difficult than you think to have some good indicators that can be useful both in the planning but also in the recording of what you have been doing. So that's just our warning in relation to that. And I think my final comment would be that if something like this was put up, it would also enable a much better linkage between the planning in FAO and WHO, which has for some time not been optimal, I would say. Partially because of the meetings that are in May for WHO and in November for FAO. So, but that's not the only reason. We can actually do it a lot better if we come up with a system like this, where everybody then is clear what is it that we're asking for, what are the outputs that we would like to have out of Codex, and what would be the funding needed to do that. That is exactly the thinking at the moment in planning process in WHO, and I think that moving in this direction would make that a lot easier, the link to WHO and the link between WHO and FAO. Thank you very much.
Thank you, WHO. I think I would like to say that when I first read this document, my initial thought was that, well, does this really help in the processing of giving the right instructions to the situation, and also in the process of requiring the adequate funding for Cody's work. But I think this question has come to the back of my head now. It's not at the forefront anymore, because after all the information we're getting about the processes going on, in particular in FAO, which is new, I think we are in the situation where we have to look at the document in the way that how does it fit into the overall picture that is being developed in the organizations who actually provide the money for the Codex situation. But without giving any more personal comments, I would like to ask if any delegates has any particular comments or questions to be asked for the document that has been prepared and introduced by our friends from Southwest Pacific area. Or could we just jump to the conclusion and say that we welcome very much the offer by New Zealand to keep on working on the argument, to develop it further, and to maybe introduce more details and a more complete document if that is necessary. Please, delegates. I see the flag from the member of North America. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, our thanks as well to Australia and New Zealand for putting this document together. Even on an informal basis, we found that it has incited some very interesting responses. So that in and of itself, I think, is useful to us. One amongst those responses has been the reaction from one of our parent bodies, FAO, on highlighting the importance of their reform. And as we are dependent on this particular parent body for the resource management process, it is very important that we are aware of the FAO reform process. It's also important that our considerations are taken into account as the FAO reform continues. And I think, as has been pointed out, the development of activities, and in particular performance indicators against which we can measure these activities, is a very complex process. And we have time, but we don't have time to develop these aspects of this framework. So I guess we would strongly encourage that we continue active consideration of this approach, not to conflict with the outcome of the reform, because we do definitely want to see ourselves integrate into that. But what is probably of most significance to us, we know that we have a comfort factor, because there is a key activity that's been identified in both WHO and FAO that our activities can fit under, the Codex fits well under. What we need to worry about now is what activities at that subactivity level do we want to see enabled as this advances. So we want room to see our activities reflected that feed into this ultimate food safety along the continuum objective, but be in a position where we're going to be able to identify those activities and the performance indicators to actually implement it when the time comes. So I guess it's a very long-winded way of indicating support for this type of approach, but encouraging that we actively consider it early and not wait until 2011 when all this is going to be implemented.
Thank you. North America, the member of Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much to New Zealand and Australia for this work. They fulfilled the mandate given to them by the Commission and have come forward with a very interesting and youthful approach that hits the maze of changes taking place, certainly within the FAO. A concern would be that this work doesn't go on and then is duplicated by any other work internally, both within the Codex Secretariat and the FAO on the bottom-up approach. But also, given the very encouraging words of both the FAO and WHO, it would be extremely sad to see this initiative fall away. And indeed, if it is to succeed, there's a very tight timeline. Two more meetings of the executive committee. So I would suggest, encourage links between the parent organisations and the two volunteer countries between now and December, and to have this item and the document on the agenda of the executive committee in December, adjusted as necessary in the light of developments. I think for this to mean anything, it should be deemed to influence the budget setting process. And I've heard encouraging noises from the top table in that respect. But I understand there was a similar activity in another organization, the IPPC, where not a single dollar extra came out of the exercise. So we don't want to waste the approach. I think it's important that it is acted upon. And if it does look as though it's overtaken, the work ceases in the light and resources are put in another direction. But just to repeat, it is a helpful start, and it needs to be acted upon promptly, otherwise it will fade away. So congratulations, but can it be on the agenda next time? Thank you.
For Europe, I'm sorry I made a mistake with the button. Vice Chair Davé, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to congratulate Australia and New Zealand for a very important input that they have given to modulating the direction in which the Codex needs to work as a business plan. I also note from the recommendation at the end that that this document will be further developed and would eventually need to be discussed. What I would like to recommend is that Australia and New Zealand and the Secretariat work together in developing this document in light of the new role that the Secretariat or the Codex Commission would like to adopt in light of the report on the private standards. Secondly, the midterm evaluation on the trust fund that is likely to take place in the near future during the course of this year may also highlight certain activities which would be necessary for the Secretariat to take into account while developing this document further. And certainly the enhanced capacity building activities that would need to be carried out in the near future to encourage countries come up with the best practices on food safety. These are a few points which I thought I might highlight while developing this document further. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Archie. I see no more flags. On this basis, I dare trying to draw some conclusions. I don't think it's very difficult to draw the conclusion because I can see that we all appreciate, I do too, very much the work that has been carried out by New Zealand and Australia. They have, as it was expressed, taken on board the task that was assigned to them by the Commission. They did that in a very effective manner. there are no opposing views in the amongst in the committee, neither from members nor from the FAO nor the WHO. I think we all agree that this is something that needs to be further developed and further thought about. And I think it is quite clear that we would appreciate very much to take on board the offer being given by New Zealand and Australia to keep on working with the document. And we should add that obviously this further development should take place in very close cooperation with the Secretariat here in Rome, because obviously these two processes has to be aligned and be sure that we don't make any contradiction or any overlapping or lapse, gaps, whatever we could find. And I think it would also be noted that I think it's the general consensus that in the further work it is important not to be too detailed. It's important to think about indicators to make it work, to make it practical. And I think we could also take on board the issue of sequencing. It hasn't been mentioned by this word, but I think it's very important to consider or to take into consideration how does such a model work together with the FAO if we want to create a relation between the Commission and the Executive Committee and the budgeting processes. Then it has to be thought in how do we do that to make sure that we have the right time scale to give a chance for the Executive Committee or the Commission to have any say on the budget instead of being informed as we used to. I hear that is the wish of the committee. And then obviously if there are any relations to what is going on about the trust fund work, which Vice Chair Davis is mentioning, I'm sure that will be taken on board by these bodies too. So I think we can conclude that we appreciate very much the offer from New Zealand and Australia to work on and refer the work back to them in cooperation with the Secretariat to develop further the document, and we will take it on the agenda for the executive meeting in December this year. Then we certainly keep the process alive and have a new step in a codex world after 6 months. That's the fastest we can do it. So that would be my conclusion at this point. Thank you, everybody. That means that we go back to the original sequencing of the agenda. It means we go back to agenda point 2C, which is amendments to the Code of Standards, and the document is again Alinorm 09/32/8. That's a single working document on this issue. We started on that yesterday, and we will simply pick up where we finished yesterday. And we start with in the document at page 8.44, guidelines for the production, processing, labeling, and marketing of organically produced foods. And I will use the same procedure as we did yesterday, certainly on these very technical issues. I will ask Tom to assist us, because I think that is the wise way to do it. So Tom, please explain what is the issue under point 4.4, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Item 4.4 is the last item coming from the Codex Committee for Food Labeling. It was discussing Section 8, and the committee agreed to delete the section as it contained advice to the committee itself on how to organize the work to update the guidelines. And the committee had also discussed that it would, at a future session, discuss how to actually organize a periodic review of the guidelines on the production, processing, labeling, and marketing of organically produced foods, so that not at every session this item would be on the agenda to cover certain substances to be added or to be deleted. Now, When preparing the document for the Commission, there were a couple of consequential amendments which were not discussed in the committee, which would consist of the deletion of a certain footnote and another sentence in another section. And my recommendation at this point would be to refer this back to the Committee on Food Labeling, as there were at least two items which were not discussed in the committee, and as they're going to discuss how to deal with periodic updating in the first place. So that would be my recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Can everybody agree to that suggestion? Seems to be the case. So I think we can draw a fast conclusion and continue with the next point. Tom, please.
The next point should be very quick. It consists of the Code of Hygienic Practice for powdered formulae for infants and young children. And there is just a reference, a bibliographic reference to be completed. At the end of the text, there is the underlying text is to be added. And the same addition needs to be made to a footnote in a text which is still to be adopted by this session of the Commission. So this just informs that this correction needs to be made. I would just recommend that this would be taken on board. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I hope that is agreed upon by the committee. It seems to be the case. There's nodding and no flags. Tom, the next point, please.
The next point is links to websites. Some codex texts include references to external websites, and the problem is that the life of websites and the exact references, we cannot determine them, whereas codex texts used to tend to have a fairly long life. So if you make reference to links and the link does not exist anymore, this causes frustration in the usage, in the application of the codex text. So an option could be that committees could be encouraged to include references to external websites only when absolutely necessary and when the link is expected to be stable. And existing links on the Codex Amitaris website could be corrected by the Codex Secretary upon notification that the link is dead. And if it's not clear how to replace the link, the matter could be brought up by the relevant committee or to the Commission. So we would handle this, we would generally discourage the usage of web links. On the other hand, we recognize that more and more is moving towards the web. So we discourage this, but what can we do? If the links are not stable, if the links, it might be better to indicate where people can find it rather than indicate the direct link. So there might be better to think about alternative ways how to indicate this. And otherwise, to keep this on the basis, when we find something, we will try to correct it. If somebody else finds something, they should notify us and also how we could correct it. And if there is any insecurity, we have to go to the committee, relevant committee, for the answer. That would be the recommendation, basically as it is written here. Thank you.
Sounds very, very reasonable to me. I think we all know the frustration of looking into links that doesn't work anymore. So I take it, this is a comment from a member of Europe. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, just to agree with the recommendation here, and presumably through you, Mr. Chairman, this would be done perhaps through guidance to the chairs of committees, because this is a message that needs to be taken on board by each committee, not to have frequent reference to websites. So it's just a matter for the Secretariat to work out how best to impart this message. Thank you.
Member of Europe, I'm sure the Secretariat will take on board this good suggestion and make that a part of how we solve or improve the situation related to links to websites. So I think that is the decision, so we ask the Secretariat to do that. Okay, I see no other flags, so we jump immediately to the next point. Tom, please.
For once, I turned it off. The next point is the use of the term competent authority, and we already shortly, briefly went into this yesterday. As a matter of fact, there are two points in this. One is harmonized use of language, where the Committee on Food Labeling asked, can we replace the term that they used in one of the texts, national authority having jurisdiction with the term competent authority, as they felt this was more appropriate, and as also the guidelines 32 contain a definition of competent authority, that means the official government agency having jurisdiction. Also, the committee on the CCNFSDU found that there were concerns of several delegations that the terms national competent authority or competent national authority were not consistently used throughout Codex texts, and they called for a consistent usage, and the way forward would be probably to use the term competent authority. So the recommendation on from the Secretariat on these two points would be that those committees could use the term competent authority for those items where they suggest. Now, there is also a more general question. There is the question from the Committee on Food Labeling, should there be a definition, or there should be a definition of competent authority in the procedural manual. And now that is a question that we may not be able to answer here, because as we've also heard yesterday, there are at least two different definitions of competent authority, and looking at them, I get the feeling that one of them, the one in the meat hygiene, makes reference also to the delegation of the authority to another authority. That would still count as a competent authority if the government agency has delegated competence, whereas the organic guidelines do not seem to include that in the definition. So I think that would be a more general question, probably best looked at if we wanted by the committee on general principles, if we wanted to make that recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Does that call for comments, or can we just follow the proposal by the Secretariat to handle this problem? Southwest Pacific, please.
Just a quick clarification on the intent of the Secretariat proposal. Is it the intent that this question of whether there is merit in developing a generic definition for competent authority should be referred to general principles for discussion? Is that the proposal? Okay. I think that stands to reason, not the least because the concern we had in the context of the discussion yesterday and on in the issue today is that the definitions have been discussed thus far, certainly with meat hygiene. It was a very involved discussion, and clearly it pointed to the different structures, regulatory structures operating, and the competencies underpinned therein. So different committees have developed different definitions to reflect the framework of their text. So I think this is an exercise that requires a bit of deliberation. And if the General Principles Committee provides a framework for that, I think we can accept that. Thank you.
Thank you, Southwest Pacific. I also see a flag from the member of Asia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do not disagree with the replacement of the term either national competent authority or competent national authority to be only competent authority. However, we have also some concern about having one definition for the term competent authority throughout Codex. We recognize there may be a little bit different meaning if something is SPS issue or TBT issue. And also countries may use different systems such as in some cases, and it's okay to delegate to outside of the government, and sometimes it's not. So if there is to be a definition, it got to be very broad, covering all the situations in the world. It should not be very strict and precise.
Thank you. Asia? I don't see any... Oh, should have closed my eyes maybe. Europe, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wonder whether this is an issue that needs to wait for a committee that may not meet until 2011, and whether there could be more reflection on the various usages of the term competent authority before the next meeting of the Executive Committee. It isn't, I accept, an issue to be taken lightly, but I'm not sure either that it's something that needs until 2011. Thank you.
Thank you, Europe. Please, we just needed a short break for consultation of the top tables, and certainly it is a pertinent remark that our European colleague comes up with this one. But, well, it hasn't been decided whether the GP is going to meet in 2010 or it has to wait till 2011. It appears to us that probably is going to meet in 2010, but obviously it hasn't been decided. We don't know whether that is the case. But I hope that the European member can accept that we stick to our proposal and say that we accept that it is an issue that needs to be dealt with, and that the most proper way to handle it is to refer it to the general principles, and so we stick to that decision. I hope our colleague from Europe can accept that proposal. If I understand the body language correct, that is the case. So I hope I can read the room. So don't give me too many options. Okay. This is the conclusion we draw on this point. I thank you. It's close to lunch break, but I think we take the next point on the agenda before we consider having a lunch break. Tom, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Yes, I just want to make point 8, the reference to sampling plans for prepackaged foods in Codex standards. We have already last year in the same document mentioned a couple of standards where still reference was made to Codex Standard 233, which still in the meantime has been revoked, and we have replaced the phrase that was contained, the reference that was contained, with the part of the sentence that is also given here by referring to the appropriate sampling plan with an AQL of 6.5, and there's just now some additional text where this needs to be included. And I would just recommend that that this be taken on board as well. And I would stop here. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I hope this is accepted by everybody. That seems to be the case. So now it fits perfectly well. Time is 12:30, where we are supposed to have a lunch break, and we also have a natural point to break in the document, because we have now finished part one in the document, and we will continue after lunch with part two, which are text for consideration for revision or revocation, and there's a number of points which we have to decide on. So everybody enjoy your lunch break, and see you back at 2:30, please.